Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, fellas, it's that time of the year. The very beginning, first week of the NBA season. College Street Podcast. I am Joseph Pavone. Joel Pavone's here. Sean Dutra. You know, it's that episode where we get you all pumped up and excited about the upcoming season. Get you into believing that this is the year, right? This is the championship year. Guys, we ever go back and listen to the last, like, 2-3 episodes? I think we should. We should go back and listen to, like, the first episode going into the regular season and just see the gradual, like, drop-off. That typically happens. Even though last year was a little different, right? Last year, the Suns got off to that great start. They were making, they were shooting threes at like a 70% rate. And then, you know, the other shoe dropped and everything went to shit. But I mean, I shouldn't put it that way, right? Because, I mean, that's the way the regular season goes, right? There's ups and downs. And, you know, Celtics team were obviously, they went through their fair share last season. But I just feel like every single year, we're always like, are we misguiding our audience here, guys? Are we always saying, like, this is it? This is the year? Like, last year, looking back with it, that was crazy. Like, looking back with it, to think that Joe Mazzulla could come in and that these guys would be like, don't worry, coach, we got your back. We're going to go out there and win a championship. That's what we were saying last year. Like, that's exactly was our mindset in assuming that this was a championship team already built on the fly. Like, just that anybody could coach this team. And just because they had made one finals appearance, they'll be over the hump and things will change.
Yeah, nothing changes. It's the same exact team. Just implement, Udoka's system again, and then go ahead. And it's just like, nah, man. That's not how it works.
Well, so here we go.
But Sean, here we go again, though, right? So now what is it? Oh, well, now he's got this whole new coaching staff, and now he's got these reinforcements in the roster. And so it's always the same thing. But what do you think, Sean?
I don't know. I feel like last year it probably, like, I don't think we had enough time to process the coaching change before we had preseason predictions.
Like, so then why do we crown them the champs already in September?
Because they should have been. Last year was the first year that I think, like, looking at the season, looking at the team, if – I don't want to play the what-if game, but if Ime Udoka was the coach of that team, did they fucking
win? I don't think so. I think they go to the finals. I think they go to the finals, but I don't think they win at all.
I'm just – so there's that, right?
Because if I did believe that, then I'd be very, very critical of Joe Mazzulla. I mean, I still am, but I'd be like, man, this guy's really set this franchise back. If you truly subscribe to that belief, then you would think, man, this whole thing, we could be talking about this team, you know, coming off a championship season if they just kept Ime in place. But I'm not in that camp. I don't believe that.
I was very critical of Joe last year. Whatever. It is what it is. I think this year, though, if we're ranking, like, we say this all the time, but mm-hmm. we're looking, like, the way that we're looking into the season, like, there's years that we look at this team where, hey, it's them with, like, four other teams, but they should be in the mix. Like, the past 2 years, you've come in, and they should be the clear-cut favorite. If Ime was the take the coaching out of it for a second, like, with the coaching change last year, but clear-cut favorite, maybe one, maybe the Bucks preseason, 2 years in a row now. So I think that's maybe we've always been hopeful they could make a run when they were in the mix of like a top four seed in the.
But after that trip to the finals, man, we went way past hopeful. We were beyond hopeful. We were like, you know, they ran into the last chapter of the Warriors dynasty. What are you gonna do? You know, they weren't experienced enough. You know, Draymond Green was playing head games. Steph Curry put together the great finals performances ever. Put them to sleep. Put them to the offseason for good in that game six. In that game, I mean, in the second half. He went off. What were they supposed to do? You know, and all that was true. You know, I don't think anyone walked away from that finals, you know, matchup thinking, man, something's really blew that one. I don't think anyone really did. It was just they were too much for Boston. But
last year they blew a golden opportunity. They blew a golden opportunity last year.
Did they though? I just think we were foolish into thinking that they were ready for that type of
You should have. Challenge. You should have been in the finals. You should have been in the finals.
Yeah, I mean,
why though?
Like, in
you should have been. You should have been down 0-3 against the Heat.
That's what it boils down to, right? Whether they beat the Heat or not, it's more like, yo, why did for most of the season? It's like, yo, why did they play down to their competition for a big chunk of last season? Like, and even in the playoffs at times, like, that was like the big knock, right? And then it was like, is Joe the guy that's going to like get these dudes over the hump after just coming off a finals appearance? Despite, you know, injuries to, you know, Robert Williams, we you know, touched upon that last episode or whatever. But, you know, you look at it now, right? At this moment, we're talking now pretty much since the end of the old big three era, right? It's like every 2 years there's a new point guard, right? from Rondo to Isaiah Thomas to I'm about to say Kawhi. Wow, to Kyrie, to, you know, Kemba, Smart.
Both two very polarizing players. So I'm giving you credit.
Yeah,
Kawhi Leonard and Kyrie Irving.
Yes.
For different reasons.
For different reasons. Completely different reasons. But yes,
very polarizing.
Yeah, you're right. And you know, to Kemba, to Smart, and now to Jrue Holiday, right? I think what's different right now is the fact that you got former Celtics players seen now more than the days of, you know, Rick Pitino with Larry Bird and Robert Parrish coming through, this, that, and the other, right? Rondo's talking about how this team has a great shot. Paul Pierce is talking, you know, the same thing and trying to convince, you know, others to watch out. But he's seen it firsthand because he was actually working out with not just, you know, Tatum, but apparently with a good chunk of this roster during the offseason. So I don't know. I guess you're sort of optimistic. Yeah. Jaylen Brown the other day said that this is like his best training camp. He's felt like he's experienced. So.
Yeah, you know, $300 million couldn't help with that.
But wait, so like, oh well, yeah,
$300 million helps with that. But guys, I'm loving this camp, guys. Man, this camp is great.
That's true. You're right.
Anyone else think this is the best camp ever, bro?
If you guys really like appreciate this facility, though, guys, like, look how much money they put into us, man. Like, this is great.
Yeah, you're right.
It's just a great. This is just a great franchise. I mean, come on. Doesn't get better than that.
No, I mean, but I think at the core of the reason why this quote may be the year is Brad Stevens for 7 years, a good chunk of those 7 years, you're like, this is the guy. This is the guy that's gonna like, you know, bridge the gap between, you know, KG, Paul Pierce to, you know, Tatum and Brown. And the Celtics don't need other superstars. This is a homegrown team, and you know they tried with Kyrie, and you know they tried with Gordon Hayward, and that didn't work. But the homegrown guys, that's what's gonna bridge the gap. And when Brad decided to take himself out of the mix, and now he's like, you know what? Now I'm gonna try to bring in the personnel that I think is gonna put this team over the hump to get that elusive, you know, 8-team championship, right? So fast forward to now. You got a new coach. So the third coach in 3 seasons. Now he's actually putting his identity into, you know, the staff and the roster, so to speak. And it's just now, it's like, go out and just do it. That's what it is now at this point. Just do it. Like we've seen the difference. We've seen the personnel changes. We've seen the trades. We've seen the, you know, getting rid of picks. And so just go out there and do it. Just, that's it. Like, what else is there left?
I agree. with the men, it feels a little different. Just, I think, like, the coming down from ownership to, like, yeah, like, this is, they haven't been this aggressive in the past, right?
Yeah, no, yeah. Like, yeah. The fact that, like, all of the coaching staff is essentially left to Houston, it's like, oh, that's right. That was E-Mate's, like, coaching staff. So now, Joe, now you get your chance to, you know, put together coaching staff, and this, it's kind of like no more excuses now going forward, right?
And Joe better be looking over his fucking shoulders, because there's, like, three head coaching candidates that are sitting right behind him ready to go if this thing goes off the rails or does anything happen in there. So, like,
yeah, but I don't want to hear that. Yeah, like, I don't want that to be that. Because you don't want it to be the type of environment where it's like people walking on eggshells because, you know, my decision matters more than yours, or like, we're going to do that. You know what I mean? I don't even look at it as that. I think it's obvious that people are going to see it that way, especially if this team struggles out of the gate. But I look at it as like, Mazzulla can look around and be like, man, like, I'm not, like, not that he was all alone last season, but
he was.
It's
he
different was. Now. Yeah. I mean, he was and he wasn't, though. Damon Stoudemire had a lot to do. And look, this is, like, when he got the new job, when he got the job to go back to go teach college or whatever, I mean, some people said that was part of, you know, part of the problem as well. But, like, look, the reason why I think you don't want to look at it that way is because you want to look at it in the sense of, how are you going to, for someone like Joe Mazzulla, how does he utilize those people around him, right? It shouldn't be combative. It shouldn't be a combative environment. It should be like, man, if you're a really good head coach, then this is going to supplement, you know what I mean? It'll take your offense, your defense, you know, whatever you're trying to do with the team, just take it to another level.
That's what I'm saying.
It should enhance your coaching style, right? Yes. Because if you're the kind of coach that's worried about losing a job, or if that's the narrative, then that means you're not that great of a coach. And if that's the case, then that can make for a very toxic environment throughout that coaching staff, throughout that team. That's the last thing this team needs.
100%. But it doesn't change the fact that they're still there. So, like, Dave, if you want, you can look at it one of two ways. You can look at it as ownership empowering Joe Mazzulla with giving him the brightest minds in the game that are now on his coaching staff. But at the same time, great, Joe, if you can't figure it out with this bro, you're fucking gone. Like, that's – like, we've gave you the best coaching staff. We've gotten everyone's players. So I just think why it feels different, I feel like ownership's like – shit's going to hit the fan if it doesn't this year, I think, if things go awry versus in the past. I think there's been this growing pains, and now I feel like it's like, hey, time to – it's a team built for now. There's no more next year. It's built for now, so we have to do it.
I don't think it's I think that only happens if there's a mutiny. Like, if the players are like, yo, Joe isn't our dude. But, I mean, yeah, I mean, it's something to consider, I guess, if this team struggles. But I just look at it as like, man, you got these guys, and it could be 1 year, right? Because these are guys who are constantly interviewing for head coaching jobs, you know? Right. So I just look at it as like, man, Joe Mazzulla better, like, get the most out of this, obviously. And, you know, first and foremost, and second, you know, I want to see this as like, man, that's all he needed. You know what I mean? Like, oh, he just needed guys to enhance, you know, his performance, or he needed guys that were more vocal, right? And from what I'm hearing and what I'm learning from training camp, it doesn't get more, you know, in your face or opinionated, open mouth. What am I trying to say? It doesn't get as like blatant as an assistant coach, a guy who wants to say what he wants than Sam Cassell. And you're seeing some of that out of Charles Lee as well, who I thought was more on the quieter side, but not around these guys, not around the players. He may be like that in front of the media, but, you know, from what I'm hearing, he's just as vocal as Sam as well.
Yeah, we're going to find out what Joe Mazzulla's real team culture is going to be now that he's not just picking this up on the fly. He's had a full off season to build it, have a say, put a real plan in place for the season, not on the fly. Like, it will be vastly different than last year. I feel like the feel of the team, and that's going to be a good thing, because that coaching piece was just, if not the reason they fucking lost, a major reason why they didn't make it back to the finals.
Yeah, everybody's saying the right things. You can see it. Were they not saying the right things a year ago? Maybe they were, maybe they weren't, but it was more like, still trying to, like you said, Sean, still trying to wrap your head around, like, is E-May coming back? Is, you know, he's suspended, but, like, is he, you know, how long? And they said for a season, but it's like, but is that for real? So that's gone. That's in the rear view, obviously. It's along with his staff, that's gone as well. So, you know, this time around, you know, Joe was asked recently, like, yo, any thoughts on the captain? He's like, no, we got 17 captains. Like, yo, like, don't ask me that again. Like, we're good. Like, we're all here. We're a cohesive unit and everyone already knows their role. And so 2 years ago, Ime tried to implement a new culture. It's Mazzulla's turn to reestablish a different culture, or at least remind this roster of what being a Celtic is all about. And that's maybe what's been this year's vibe versus, you know, the last few seasons. And there's nothing left except just go out there and finish the job. And that's it. There's nothing else.
All right. Well, let's find out which teams in the Eastern Conference can get these guys in trouble, man. We're going to preview the East. We'll go out West. We'll do our annual season preview, going into Sean's favorite segment, of course, looking ahead,
woo!
Celtics schedule, and then we'll wrap things up with Joel's in case you missed it. Our trip around the NBA one last time before the season starts, regular season, officially kicking off tonight, and I can't wait, man. It's going to be a fun season. Might even get league packs this year, damn it. Might be the
Yo, end. Make a $5 bet. Make a $5 bet on FanDuel. They're giving you 3 months of league pass for Frizzy.
No, they're doing the same thing as the NFL?
Yeah, $5 bet on the NBA, and you get 3 months of league pass for free.
Oh, boy. Anyways, where was I? Oh, yeah.
Previewer.
So, yeah, I mean, look, because the reason why I said all I said at the beginning of this episode is because, you know, I'm in that same space, man. Like, this is the year. This is it. You know, this team is – you guys pointed out some of the top differences. You know, some of the biggest reasons why you feel like this is the year. But I also think that the moves, the offseason moves, I mean, this is the first year where I feel like I can't think of another franchise that made the right adjustments in the Celtics, right? I mean, you always have those teams that are kind of like neck and neck. And some people can say like, oh, well, the Bucks getting Damian means this. But like that Jrue Holiday trade, it just really solidifies the kind of offseason that this team had. And I don't think it's even close compared to other teams when you think of the additions. And a lot of the top teams in the Eastern Conference, whether it's the Bucks, that added Dame, which was in some ways desperate move because of what Giannis was talking, and now he's locked in for the foreseeable future all of a sudden. But look at the Miami Heat. I mean, what kind of improvements have they made? And they lost some key players, some guys that meant a lot to their starting five in that Eastern Conference final matchup against the Celtics, you know? And you look across the East, other teams, you're like, man, which ones are going to break through here, or should this thing be smooth sailing for the Celtics for the most part in terms of them grabbing that top seed by the end of the season?
Yeah, I mean, it goes, I know, a long way when in terms of trying to improve your roster on a season-to-season basis, right? And it feels like the Heat, ever since they signed Jimmy Butler, they really haven't, you know, improved, but yet they're still in the mix every season, whether they're the eighth seed or whether they're the first seed, they're in the mix every fucking season. So maybe Pat Riley's just like trying to just squeeze as much as he can out of this before he really, like, you know, makes a big move, whether it's signing somebody or trading for someone. I don't know, but like I can't count out the Heat, you know, just, you know, despite the regular season that they had last year.
No, I can though, because they really messed up, man. They were too busy lining up their damn ducks for Damian Lillard, and that was irresponsible. Waiting all the way until literally the day before media day, or at least that weekend, before they realized how big of a mistake that was. Like, you gotta set a deadline. You gotta figure things out in a way of saying, look, if we're not getting, if this damn thing takes any longer, we gotta find other ways to bring in talent that's gonna help us. Like, they never did that. They just figured that there was gonna be a stalemate until Portland would say, okay, Miami, let's figure this out. Like, and that was poor planning on the organization's part. You know, you can't just assume that deal is going to be ready for whenever the Portland Trailblazers decide to call you.
Yeah, and it took. You're right. It took long, like so long, to the point where, like, Dame was just like, "All right, if I'm not going to the Heat, then like I'll come back to Portland." When Portland was just like, "Nah, man, you're out the door. Whether it's Miami or somewhere else, like, just like that's not an option for you to come back. Like, we've already said our goodbyes. It's done. It's a done deal." So
Joe Cronin was like, "When you ask out, man, you ask out forever. Pretty much, man.
There's no coming back.
There's no coming back.
Yeah, man.
You will be traded."
I look at some of the names that did
move. This is what you wanted, motherfucker. This is what you wanted. No, I'm just playing.
Like,
go ahead.
Like, it wasn't like there was no player movement in the offseason either. Like, the Heat were, you make such a good point. Like, wouldn't they have benefited from John Collins, from
something, man?
Make a fucking Dylan move. Brooks, all these players that sort of moved Like, yo, they literally sat there and did fucking
Fred VanVleet, for all we know. Like, anybody. Like, somebody upgrade that point guard position, dude.
And the worst thing that they did was
Houston gets him.
Right? Yeah, all fucking teams.
And they sat on Kyle Lowry. So they are sitting there with Kyle Lowry making a ton of money that is going to be one of the worst. I mean, you can't really even play him the way he was looking at the end of the season last year. So I don't know. Yeah. He's got the
E light on. He's got the he's maybe still a mechanic ASAP. You're like, that car's breaking down, man.
Yeah, the check engine light's been on for a while, but then that other weird light comes on.
Oh yeah, what is that? I said E light. My fault. Yeah. Right. The like the exclamation point thing with the triangle. It's like, man, this car's fucked. Get off the road.
It's like you. We've been trying to tell you to get this thing checked out, but now you have four other lights that are on, and it's like your traction control is all fucked up, dude. It's like, yeah, man, that's Kyle Lowry right now, dude. He will not make it through.
He's like, have I not stopped the engine? I did start the engine. Fuck.
Yo, him just on the bench, like bundled up in like 14 layers of towels, bro. It's like, yo, if your body needs that and you're playing 14 minutes a night, you're like, fuck, dude. You're done. Yeah. Dude, get out. Like, so I will say this. Jimmy Butler.
And that was in like the semifinals, man.
Yeah, I know. Like,
no, that was like the fucking first round, dude. Like the playing game. I don't know how the fuck they got out of the playing game. Jesus Christ, dude. Yeah, I remember an episode. It was me and Sway after they lost their first playing game. We're like, yo, Miami's done. Like, what the fuck? Like, they would just blow it up already. Just call it a day. But you know,
so I will say this. You look at that team. It's not built for the regular season at all.
No, it never is.
There's going to be more competition this year in the Eastern Conference in that 5-10 space than there ever has been. They legitimately could miss the playoffs. And even though they're built for the playoffs, one extended injury for Jimmy Butler, a tweak of Bam, you miss him for a month. Like, that team is done. So I don't see them, and I'm very bold about this, not a threat. Not a threat. They are not a threat this year at all to contend for coming out of the East.
Like, I don't know, man. I'll still give them at least top five right now in the East. Depending on what happens with Cleveland, there's rumblings out there right now that, like, what's his name? Donovan's not happy with, you know, sharing the backcourt with Garland. So I don't know what's going on there.
Figure it out, Donovan.
Yeah. And then New York. New York right now is a toss up.
Season, and then you couldn't figure it out in the postseason. Like, just it
was your fault.
Mr. First Round and done. You know, Donovan Mitchell. That's what he is. It's like every year of his career. But and New York right now is a toss up.
And then I swear, my fault. Just real quick about Mitchell. And then I swear, if things don't go well this year, at some point you're gonna hear that shit. Well, Donovan always wanted to go to New York, so you know. And if that fucking happens, and I'm the Cavs organization, I'm like, fuck you, man. Like, I would be so mad. Like, dude, we have a good thing here. Like, stop crying about this. We can figure this out.
So yeah, New York. I feel like New York is still a toss up. Philly, you know, even with the whole James Harden, you know, drama going on right now. Like, they got a new coach. They're trying to implement a new system with you know, good old Nick Nurse. But I don't know. I still think they're in the mix. You know, top four, even if it doesn't look like it. But
we gotta be real.
Yeah, no, I'm saying, like, you gotta be like realistic in terms, like anywhere from 5 to 12 could be a toss up in the East. And but
I think it's three to ten.
I think, bro, I hate to say it, but I think Sean's Pistons might make the playoffs this year.
Hell yeah, they're
ain't gonna be no top four. Don't honk his horn, right? It's not gonna be. No, fuck that. Yo.
Hey, I'm not ranking over here. I'm just throwing teams.
Hold on.
I thought we weren't doing the rankings.
Real quick. Did you just say 45? Did you just take off two wins from last week? You said 47 last week.
I thought we had a.
Are you keeping count of this fucking ridiculousness?
No. I'm checking the tape because we're making best. Remember, Sway, we're making best with this dude. Easy money. All remember?
Right. I thought we were like, okay, what if I go 45? And you're like, ain't no way they get 45. I was like, yeah, 47. No.
Okay. By the end of this episode, we gotta get these bets written. Yeah. Fucking put them on paper.
Check the tape.
I am putting on paper.
Hashtag check the tape.
Get the post. Get the post in notes. Get the post in notes going, like Ernie.
Let's just call
like Ernie Johnson.
Let's just call it 46. Let's call it 46 wins and call it a day.
Motherfucker. All right, whatever.
46 wins. But 46 wins will get you into the top six seeds in the East this year, I think. Top six?
Yeah. Yeah, it's top six. You're not in the playing territory, I guess. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what I'm thinking. So, yeah, man. I mean, to be honest, though, I know we've been talking about, like, the teams that legitimately have a shot to compete against the Celtics. The Eastern Conference is
– I mean, I don't know if we're talking – it's more so like the top four in the East. I don't know if anybody's going to challenge – We're not saying like anybody's going to challenge the Bucks and the Celtics. We're just saying like after the Bucks and Celtics, who's the next two?
Yeah,
potentially the next two to three.
It's just there's the
more. It's a two team race. Let's be honest. It's a two team race in the East. That's what this is.
I think, dude, like the East is going to be a two team race. I literally don't see between the Bulls, between the Magic, the Nets, like. Pacers, none of these teams, Hawks, none of these teams scream to me, we're ready to make a little bit of a run this year. Yeah. There's always one team that surprises you, but I mean, maybe the Pacers can make a little noise.
Out of all those teams, maybe the Hawks. Maybe, but that's a huge maybe.
Yeah, but I will say out of the teams that we've talked about, the legitimate top four in the East, we want to say top four, I think it's Milwaukee and Celtics head and shoulders above the rest. And then for me, the next two, I'm taking the Cavs and I'm taking the Knicks.
All right.
I'm going to take them over Philly.
And you know what? And that's fair.
I'm going to take them over Philly. If they can't figure out the Harden situation, then I think at some point this season Embiid's like, well, why am I? I'm going to rest up. I'm going to. Let's figure my situation out then.
You think he plays for Philly again?
What up?
You think he plays for Philly again?
Who, Harden?
Harden, yeah. No.
It's home. No. For me, it's home or the Clippers.
I wonder if Chicago will ever get in the mix.
I was just thinking that, Sway.
Zach LaVine, right?
Yeah.
There's been a lot of reports saying that they have to break that thing up one way or another.
Chicago has a lot of contracts that they need to either blow up and tank, and what better player to trade for than?
Yeah, James but I don't Harden know. I don't know. Bobby Davidson is gonna appreciate an attitude or a character like James Harden.
He's like, I didn't even get a crack at this thing. I don't think he's got a choice at this point. Man.
Yeah, right.
Bobby Davidson just lucky to have a job at this point.
All right, let's go out west, man. It's definitely way more interesting out west.
It's just people out there like, who the fuck is Bobby Davidson? It's the coach. The coach of the fucking Chicago Bulls, guys. You know, our long time listeners know.
Day one, go look it up, man.
Bobby Davidson, kid.
Yo, Bobby, dude. Yeah, my fuck. Let's go out west now. Let's go out west.
I think that was before episode 200.
Yeah, definitely.
That might have been around on the 100th episode when we had Antoine.
Yeah, yeah.
That was the same studio.
Yeah. The first 100, 150 around there. Yeah.
Yeah. So go look it up, guys. Yeah. Right. Let's go out west. I mean, the Nuggets, how big of a championship hangover are these guys going to have, man? I mean,
huge.
Jokic for the. There was jokes about Jokic hadn't even touched the basketball all summer. But, I mean, I'm not saying that this team's not going to be able to get their ish together by the end of the season, but I think there will be a championship hangover for sure. I mean, they're still favored on most lists to come out of the West, but obviously Phoenix Suns are also in the mix. And then you get the Los Angeles Lakers, man. One way or another, they'll for sure find a way to be relevant, if you ask me, man. I think this is going to be one of those years where you're like, man, the Lakers are got their stuff together, but there's going to be other teams that are, you know, just as good or if not better. Or positioned to knock them off, but then where did the Golden State Warriors? You know, what I mean, where do they fall on your guys' list, man? How are you guys feeling about these top four teams out west that a lot of people have in their top five?
All right. Well, last season there really wasn't like a clear top four or five out west. That shit was changing like on a weekly basis. I remember New Orleans at one point was holding down like the number one seed for a couple of weeks.
So it's another team. A lot of teams talking about.
So then, like, you know, for those. you know, top four spots. It could be anybody from.
Who's your top four? Who's your top four, Joel? This is, I think this one we gotta draw the line here because there's actually.
Well, I mean, there's like six teams that could potentially be in like in the top four, right?
I saw some.
Yeah, because it's like, all right, so, and no particular order. Right now, I'm thinking Nuggets, Suns, Warriors. I don't want to say Lakers, but I'm going to say Lakers. Because, you know, Clippers are in the mix. Memphis, even though they're a little banged up right now. Those are the top four, and then potentially those other two can slide in there.
Oh, that's interesting. See, I can already tell we're all going to have different lists.
Yeah, I have a very bold prediction.
If you say like Dallas is going to win it all like Shaq did, we're going to have problems.
No, but hold on. I think the Nuggets will not finish in the top four this year. I've never seen I've never seen a player as good as Jokic be so miserable at being good. Did you see the video of him sitting there looking at his horses back home right before the game?
I think once the season starts, he's going to be like locked in. Like right now, he's just bored because he's like, I'm, you know.
I don't know, Joel. Did that happen to somebody who's
I get it, but like, I think the Nuggets are kind of falling at that team, because they've been, the core has been together for so many years that like, they don't necessarily want or need the first, you know, two or three seeds.
Listen, though, Omari looked so concerned about how sad Jokic is. So that to me is a fucking trend.
And if you remember, one last enthusiastic about a potential back to back, man, he's thinking about repeat for sure.
Yeah, he is Jokic, right, who has to be. I think he looks at it, he's like, won two MVPs. I've won an NBA championship. I don't want to play basketball anymore. I feel like that's in his head.
Come on, dude. He's not Darko, dude.
Just fucking wait. I give Jokic two more years in the NBA, and he's retiring. He's making his money. He's going to ride his horses back in Serbia, and that's a wrap, dude. So I think that the decline starts now. I think they're outside of the top five. My top four in the West.
I think it's a great story. That's just me.
I think this
is, he's wait, like, I came, I saw, I conquered, I'm out.
That's just my
he's out. Yeah, he's done.
That's just the journalist in me. That'd be a great story, but
like, what the fuck else do I gotta do? I've won MVPs, I've won championship. Like, I don't know, you know.
And like a lot of former players still won't say like, oh yeah, he's, you know, he could be a Hall of Famer one day. It's just like, yeah, I don't know.
He's obviously a Hall of Famer. what the fuck?
To Sean's point, man, he doesn't strike me as a guy who cares a whole lot about his legacy, man. He's just not,
no, you're right. Maybe he doesn't.
Like, man, I want to be the greatest big man of all time, which he clearly could be. Clearly.
No, you're right. You're right. But like, did you see a lot of current and former players last year say like, oh, he shouldn't, you know, if he wins that, you know, his third MVP, then you got to start putting him in the conversation as one of the best big men of all time. Like, what's wrong with that? Like, is that, why is that such a bad thing?
He already is in there.
I don't think it's a bad thing, but I think what people are trying to say is that, like, will he sustain this? Not because of his skill set, but because of just who he is as a person. Yeah. I don't know if it means all that much to him when you compare him to other stars who either grew up in this culture, or grew up in this country, you know, just in terms of the dream, so to speak, quote unquote. I mean, Jokic doesn't strike me as someone that was watching the NBA as a 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 year old being like, man, I want to be the next Shaq, or I want to be, you know, one of the greatest players of all time. Maybe this is not his thing. You never know.
That 100% wasn't his thing. Yeah, he does. There's no way. He was just like,
I don't want to assume things, but that's just the way I see it.
I see him as like, shit, man. Why am I so fucking good at basketball? Like, I don't want to.
No, it's not a burden. I don't think it's a burden.
Though. It's a burden. It's a burden.
I think it's more of a. It's like it's a pure hobby. You know, it's like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, man, that was cool. I got my championship, but like, you know, I don't think he'll retire. But I just feel like that drive is going to diminish a bit compared to other years. I mean, it already has. How has it not? You know, that's just natural for anybody. I think if you talk to some players, they would say the same. You know, like some of them. You know,
no, there's not a lot of players.
I don't know if LeBron would go out and say that he felt that way in the first couple of months after winning a championship, but. You never know. I mean, I just think that other guys like LeBron and Steph and, you know, the legacy thing weighs way more, you know, holds way more weight than for someone like, for, you know, someone like Jokic.
100% agree. I gave you 2 years and he's retiring. Just wait. But they're not in the top four this year.
You're making it sound like it's a burden, man. You're making it sound like he would fucking hate the game.
I want you to really look at his face and tell me.
You know what I think? You know what this is? This is the first European that you didn't put your horses on, and you're like, why is he this good? Why is this motherfucker this good? And why didn't I see it coming years ago? That's what this is. That's what it's all about. Because essentially, like, the Denver Nuggets essentially did that. They were like, all right, it's either Nurkic or it's fucking, Jokic. All right, we're going to pick Jokic. Fuck it. Nurkic, go trade him to the Portland. We're going to stick with this guy. That's what it was. I feel like.
It 100% was. And hey, I'm not a big European big man guy. I'm a big Sean,
you're like, man, this one slipped through my fingers.
I know, right? How did I miss this motherfucker?
That's why, because he's not. You know, he's not your everyday big man.
Yeah.
I swear.
He wasn't sexy looking in the least bit. That's what it was.
I swear. This is not
the best thing ever happened to Jokic was the fucking, was the pandemic. Cause he lost so much weight and he's been a fucking superstar ever since.
I'm telling you, this is not a defensive prediction. I just look at the man's face and I see misery. And it's all because he's in the United States playing basketball, not with his horses.
And I see misery. I don't know if I would take him out the top five, but you might be onto something there. I don't think they would be top three, if you ask me.
Yeah. I mean, I look at teams that are very hungry, and I look at the Warriors. This is no particular order. My top four, because I feel like these are going to shuffle. But, I mean, I got the Warriors. I got the Suns. I got the Clippers. I think this is one of the last hurrahs of that Paul George coach, like of really having a chance. and then I could go back and forth between the Lakers making that fourth seed. I feel like they're more of a playoff team, like whatever. But it's a toss-up between the Lakers and the Mavericks for me. So I'm gonna go with Luka and I'm gonna put him in my top four. That's I'm gonna put the Mavericks in there. As painful as it is, that's Kyrie Irving in a successful team. I think we shall see how that works out. But yeah, that's my top four. No Nuggets, no Lakers. We're going those four.
Wow. Man, all right, you guys got me really thinking here. I don't know if I can put Nuggets in there. You said top four, right? I was like, when you said top five, I was like, no. But maybe, they're in there. All right, I'm going to go top four, no order. I'll say Nuggets, Suns. Okay, Nuggets, Suns. See, I want to put Memphis in there, but injuries, man. I just can't.
Top four makes it tough because I think
Memphis will have a strong push at the end of the season, but they won't be a top four seed. Yeah, I think that's more likely.
And I don't know if it's necessarily seeds. I feel like it's like, you know, best, like, I don't know, whatever.
Give me Suns, Nuggets, Lakers, and I'm going to get the Kings on number four.
Whoa.
Okay.
Give me the Kings.
I like it.
I think this is the year where, I mean, last year was a heck of a year. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I just feel like this is the year where I feel like they're going to be like, man, we belong here. You know what I mean? None of this all like, oh, look out for the Kings thing. Like, I think they're going to have a humongous chip on their shoulder. They didn't lose anybody during the offseason or anyone particularly relevant, I should say. You know, I just think this is that year where they sort of like, man, they're like a mainstay, you know, one of the top teams in the West.
So it was a JaVale McGee signing, wasn't it?
Yes. A championship pedigree. A
championship pedigree. Yeah, there you go.
Nah, bro, it's all about Sasha Vezinkov on that team, bro. Just keep an eye out on him.
Stop it.
Lakers, I think Lakers are going to be playing with pride, man. I think they're going to have, I mean, don't get me wrong, they did make a couple of ditches, too. I think Gabe Vincent was huge, for sure. Christian Wood is huge, excuse me. Yeah, Christian Wood is huge, but I'm looking at their backcourt, and yeah, I think Gabe Vincent is a good piece as well. But yeah, man, I just think that that balance of young guys and obviously the veterans and Anthony Davis and LeBron James is gonna be good for them. And who knows what they get between now and the end of the season, man. I don't think this will be the final roster what we're seeing right now. So we'll see.
Yeah, man, it is. It's gonna be interesting out west because you have this group of teams that are like I said, the East doesn't seem like there's anyone poised to make a run. into that top four. You could make a case for the Timberwolves with Anthony Edwards, the Thunder with Shea. You can make a case for like the Kings, like you said. I guess if you want to talk about the Pelicans, but there's like teams that are poised to potentially make some noise in the Western Conference this year, which is
how about the Jazz as a sleeper?
Not even
a play-in?
Maybe a play-in. I mean,
I think they have a shot at making the playoffs. I don't know if they would be like, you know, an upset, like a first round upset.
Nah, I don't know if they even have a really shot to make the playoffs, man. Somebody's gonna have to go down. Like, I don't think you could take the Jazz over a lot of teams that are.
But like you said, one of those a key player in one of those teams, you know, I don't know, fringe like top five teams, like, you know, New Orleans or even the Kings, for example. Like, if somebody goes down on one of those teams, like a team like the Thunder or the Jazz could sneak up, and Timberwolves, yeah, that's another team too. Yeah, I think the West is pretty stacked this year.
Watch out for the Timberwolves here too. I'm not gonna say they're gonna be a top four team, but
they're sneaky because Cat was out for a good chunk of last season. But like if he's healthy all season long, and you know Anthony Edwards, like
Anthony Edwards coming off the Olympics where he was the man. Yeah. He was the man on that team.
That's the last person you got to worry about. My concern is, can he figure this thing out? And you're, Joel, that's a good point. I mean, Karl-Anthony Towns missed a whole lot of games, but before he went down with that injury, man, that whole Cat and Rudy Gobert thing just wasn't working out. It was like a humongous negative. Like, it wasn't like they just, whenever they're on the floor together, it didn't yield positive results. However, did they get enough time? I don't know. That could be you know, that could have been the issue. They didn't get enough time together, so we'll see. But yeah, they got to figure that out. I think that's the only biggest question mark for me. I don't think Utah's quite there yet. Memphis is going to, like I said, I think they make that late push. They're surely going to be in the playoffs. One of the better defensive teams, you know, Steven Adams, losing him is a humongous loss, but you wonder how they combat that. What does Marcus Smart look like? You know, he hasn't been healthy. You wonder what they look like, you know, especially because he's going to be the starting point guard before John Morant comes back from his suspension. So that's a huge, that's a big reason why I don't think they have a record that's good enough to be a top five team, but I think they'd certainly make the playoffs. It'll be an interesting one of those teams that could really give fits. Cause look at these top teams, man. They're very, a lot of offense, but they ain't a whole lot of defense. We look at a team like the Suns, right? Like, how does that team look against some of the top tier defensive teams in the West? Bradley Beal, the league's newest big three. That's fun to watch offensively, but how are they going to defend? You know?
Yeah, you're right. There's not a lot of teams out west that are, you know, grinding on the defensive end like the Grizzlies, right? There's a lot of, you know, high offense, a lot of shooting, a lot of, you know, spacing. But you're right. That's why there's no clear cut favorite for the top 2, 3, 4 teams out west. There really isn't.
There's space for the Grizzlies to play that, what was it? What did they used to call it? The grind? No, what was it?
The grit and grind.
Grit and grind style and make some noise, especially led by Marcus Smart over there, baby. I'm going to get that Grizzly jersey, I think. I think I got to get that, but.
I think it's an overrated favorite before we get into Sean's looking ahead.
Yeah.
You know what I think is a team that's an overrated favorite, the Golden State Warriors, man.
Yeah, I was wondering why you didn't bring them up at all. You didn't talk to them at all.
How long do people think they're going to be able to do this thing, man? Like, you think Chris Paul is going to, like, save the day here? You gave away Jordan Poole because he couldn't, freaking Draymond couldn't just, like, make amends with the dude. Like, can you just be his friend? Like, can you just, for the sake of the franchise, like, you fucking scared him off. You got your bag. Congratulations, Draymond. You got your $100 million, 4 years for who knows what you're going to look like, you know, at the end of that damn contract. You didn't bring in anybody else to help this thing. You're just hoping that Klay Thompson is going to turn into who he was 2, 3 years ago. Like, man, I don't know. I just feel like this team is being, like, just hoisted up there because of what they did in the past.
You sound like Chuck right now.
You gotta.
I mean, Chuck. You know, the last couple of years we were like, "Yo, Klay is like done." You know, Klay is like done. That's how he feels like. And to the point where Klay was just like, Like, I had like two potentially career ending like injuries. Like, he's like, I'm trying, Chuck. Like, relax. Like, stop. Like, stop getting on me, bro. That's what it sounded like.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I remember that. Yeah. My bad, Chuck. I'm doing my best.
I will say this.
The Warriors. Milton somewhere shaking his head like, exactly, bro.
Yeah, yo. So it's essentially, like, the Warriors, they chose. They had to choose, right? They're like, all right. It's Draymond or it's fucking Jordan Poole. And they made their choice. They clearly made their choice.
Yeah, because Draymond couldn't put his damn big boy pants on. He's fucking giving him a silent treatment all year long.
Yeah, yeah.
Like a fucking high school senior. Like, relax, dude.
He's like, he's not talking to me, guys. I don't know what to do. He'll come around. Don't worry, Jordan. He'll come around.
I still think they're going to be
in
the mix to make the Western Conference Finals next year. Like, they're going to be there. That's it. No. Talk about a team that's built for the playoffs. Like, now that you
put that down on the bet, man. Mm-hmm. They literally just brought in like one of the most injury prone point guards of all time.
Like, I know, but they didn't bring him in to be like to run the team. They brought him in like as like their sixth man, essentially.
Well, they brought him in to give Steph time off.
Fourth option. Like, he's got to be one of the top guys. Like,
well,
they brought him in to.
You can't make it sound like he's going to play the fucking Derek White of the damn team. Like, he's not. He's going to be like the fucking...
No. I think it's more so like
he's way more important. He's like the Drew Holiday.
I know, but I think they brought him in more so for, like, the piece. For like, you know, he's a locker room guy that, like, won't beef with fucking Draymond. That's what it is, essentially, at the end of the day.
Even though Draymond hates Chris Paul, doesn't he? Or Chris Paul hates Draymond? Wasn't that a thing?
Was it a thing? Yeah, it probably was. Chris Paul hates everyone. So I'm just saying, like, but when it comes to, you know, being the rah-rah guy in the locker room, like, no one says that, like, he's not, you know, that guy. He's been that guy. And plus you got out from under, you know, Jordan Poole's, you know, long ass contract. They probably regretted giving that contract to him anyway. So it's like, you know, one year Chris Paul is, I guess, the best trade off to potentially just stay in the championship mix there.
Well, you know, the West will be fun.
I mean, I don't blame Golden State for taking the risk. They didn't even really have many options, but it's just like, is everyone just buying into this like right away?
Like, right. And like, talk about people not.
Put it like this: would you take Chris Paul or James Harden?
But why are those the options?
Because that's kind of what it was in terms of, like, you know, money wise. Like, you're taking somebody, like, you're taking a chance on James Harden. Or you're taking a chance on Chris Paul, who, like, his contract after this year, only a small piece is guaranteed for next year. So,
you know what, though? We're going to talk Warriors what ifs. What if they had just drafted LaMelo Ball over Jameis Wiseman with the number one overall fucking pick?
Well,
imagine that.
Where was he going to play, though?
Where Chris Paul is playing right now.
No, I'm saying, but like, you're starting, like, that, it was supposed to be, he was supposed to be the starter. James Wiseman was supposed to be their
I'm just saying,
their five, like, as a starter. And then
if you're wondering why is it between Chris Paul and James Harden, it's because they fucked the number one pickup when they had it, dude. That's like, what are you going to do? Yeah. By the way, where is Wiseman even playing now? Where is he? Is he on Detroit?
I think so. I think
he's on. It's on your squad, bro.
I know, right? You should I'll find out, dude. Didn't you find out. Didn't you buy their league pass for the next 5 years?
I'm thinking about getting season tickets to Detroit, you know? Season tickets. Just gonna take a plane up there.
Wasn't there a special deal if you signed up for their league pass for the next 5 years? You get, like, you know, like 30% off or something like that?
Yeah, 30% off your Jalen Duran jersey.
All right, Sean. Let's look ahead. First one of the regular season. So get ready. Get excited. Celtics, you're looking ahead. What's the schedule looking like, Sean?
Oh, we are just a day away from some Celtics basketball. Feels like it's been forever. But here we are, huh? Little Halloween week. Kicking off the season. Celtics are starting on the road. Tipping off in Madison Square Garden against those New York Knicks that we were talking about, poised to make a run this year. So, that's a pretty solid opening night.
Playing them for like the 18th time in like 2 weeks. Yeah, cool.
I know. Well, I guess it could be the Hornets again, which I feel like last year we started with the Hornets like three times in the first 2 weeks. So, I'll take Knicks. I'll take Knicks. That's a sit down, get your popcorn ready. It's a must see TV right there. So that is a Wednesday. And then game.
But you're starting off in the NFC, man. Like, that's not a bad win. A bad win.
So. Is that nationally televised?
Oh, I'm going to assume it's nationally televised. I mean, right.
Is that nationally televised?
I'm pretty sure there's like, there's probably a 40% chance this year that if I say game, it's going to be on national television. So, yes, I'm sure it is.
Oh, word.
Yes. The
ESPN with Doc Rivers now. I love it.
Hey, we're going to get a lot of Doc this year, which is good because I really didn't like the vibe from the new Pipsqueak over there. I don't know if that's a name, in case you missed it, but
I don't know. I don't know the Pipsqueak. Who's
Pipsqueak? I'm gonna take a wild guess, and we're talking about Drew. We're talking about the NBC Sports Boston's own.
Yeah, NBC Sports Boston's own 14-year-old fucking play-by-play announcer. That guy had the fucking audacity to say on live TV, you know, it really seemed like it was a magical season when Isaiah Thomas was here. Motherfucker, we're not talking about the bird years, bro. That was like, what are you? Don't be talking like that was ancient history, dude.
It's because of Isaiah, the Celtics are where they are right now, right? Like they bridged the gap a little bit.
That's what did it for you, Sean? Like that put you over the top?
No, it's just he has no idea about anything Celtics. Like there's no tradition. There's nothing. Like he is just a fucking robot. It's going to piss me off all year. It's going to be little fucking things like that all year.
Well, all the more the reason why it's great that this game is on national TV, huh?
And like, do you think if I went to Drew and was like, yo, favorite part about the 01 season, run to the Eastern Conference Finals, what's your favorite part? That motherfucker would be like, oh, Paul Pierce, of course. Like, fuck you, dude. You know? Like, you don't know shit about growing up watching the team, man. Like, I don't know.
Give him a chance. Give him a chance, man. It's early.
I feel like they definitely spoke to Scal. Like, hey, man, like, take it easy on the kid. You know, because I feel like he would be way more, like, he's been, like, over the top nice if you, like, compared to who he usually is, like, the kind of guy he usually is. He's been trying his best not to, like, crack jokes, I feel like.
No, but half the time, Scal's even though, like, he doesn't even get, like, his references, which I think is great because Scal's, he's speechless. Like, what? Like, what's happening?
Yeah, and he's super, like, He's super corny, bro. Like making nicknames up. It's like, bro, how about you wait a minute here? All right,
I've opened up the floodgates. I'm sorry. I didn't.
Oh, he's definitely. Yeah, he's definitely the new kid. You know, in school, who just wants to do anything to fit in. You got that point. Yeah. Huh? A little nerve wracking.
Yeah, not just like yo, just fucking.
Let me ask you this before you.
He's like the new kid. I like. I don't know, Brockton High or something.
Really hold on, but let me ask you this. I know it's early. Would you prefer Drew or Sean Grady?
Drew. All right. Of course, Drew.
All right. So then, yeah. There we go.
My thing is with this dude, it's like, yo, don't come in trying to win the job. You got the job. Just fucking be you. Like, don't be trying to be all Boston Drew over here. Dude. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I don't need you to tell me about the Isaiah Thomas years. I was fucking here. I don't need you to go. Like, I need you to talk about the game and call the game. That's all I need you to fucking do. You know what I mean?
Fair enough.
Sorry, Drew.
Anyways,
what else has got after the Knickerbockers?
Hey, I'm just giving him some advice. That's all. I'm not out on him yet. It's just. The one game I've heard.
So the moment you tweet at him, that's when he's in trouble.
The moment I tweet.
you're honestly, you are giving him a chance. Technically, you are giving him a chance because the moment you tweet at him, and all bets are off.
I will give him a chance because when I do tweet at him, his play-by-play on NBC Sports Boston is a wrap. It is. I've just never – people want to say, how come Grady didn't get the job? I don't know. Maybe he shouldn't have chirped back at Sean Dutra. You know? Just saying.
I'm sure you were very upset when you found out he didn't get the job.
I was devastated.
Tears rolling down his cheeks, I can imagine.
Yeah, stay on the radio. Where he does great on the radio. TV, absolute shit show. anyways, so Knicks, and then the game that everyone's really pumping up, which I feel really weird about because don't look overlooked the Knicks, but pumping up this Heat game on Friday night, probably. Home opener, Heat in the Garden on Friday night. It's gonna be rocking.
It's gonna be rocking at it. I'm down at the TD Garden.
Yeah,
down on Causeway Street.
No cap, as Drew would probably say.
That's no cap, Scott.
I can't wait. This is gonna be fun. I couldn't even wait another 2 minutes, bro.
I tell you this though, real quick. When he got introduced, like, you know, over like Twitter or social media, and you saw his face, and I was like, wait, this is the guy that's gonna take over for Mike Gorman? But then, like, his voice doesn't match his face. I'll tell you that. So there's that, and I say that in a good way. So
yeah, I don't know, man. I I will say this. I think he would be a great national TV announcer. He's good. He's probably good at announcing. I just don't know anything about the Celtics yet. So whatever. Yeah.
Okay. So you say he's more Mike Green. You're looking for a little more Mike Gorman.
Yeah. Thank you. Yes. Like, gotcha. There's plenty of people that could have stepped in that know everything about the Celtics. That would have been a great transition. And then,
but would he have been? Would he have been? In the budget that NBC Sports Boston is looking for in terms of not having to break their pockets.
Sean's like, I would have took a job.
Ain't nobody call me. Ain't nobody fucking text me.
I'm a little bit upset that I wasn't even in the run.
You wasn't even considered.
Well, it's funny. He's like, it's funny you mentioned that, Joel, because I applied many times. That's what this whole thing's about. He's just mad because he didn't get the job.
I sent him my audition tape and everything.
This guy's not even a Celtic.
So should I cancel the Drew interview that I had lined up at some point this season?
Oh no, that's staying on, bro.
All right, cool.
Yo, I don't know.
I'm sure he's pumped. I'm sure he can't wait.
Yeah, we'll move on.
Home opener.
So get the Heat on Friday night.
There you go.
There we go. Pull it all back. No cap. No cap.
No cap. No cap.
You got the Heat. The Garden is opening up at the Garden. Then a basketball free weekend, which is a little bit of a letdown. You know, you always like to get it. It was like a little Sunday matinee when the season starts out. I don't know. That's just me, maybe. But then tying up the end of the first, looking ahead, we're going to see the Wizards in DC, and the Wizards could be the worst team in basketball history. So that should be a pretty much a lock.
But I don't know. It might be a toss up between them and the Hornets. I think the Hornets might get that crown.
Oh yeah, you're not joking. They could be legit. They could combine for 15 wins this year. Like, that's how bad those teams are going to be.
But no, the Celtics just took a fucking huge ass dump on the Hornets their last preseason game. Yeah.
And Charlotte played everyone.
Yeah, they sure did.
Yeah, and I like how the Celtics just didn't sit their starters either. They're like, no, we need the reps. We're going to go up by 100 points by the end of this game, bro. That's it. Looking ahead, Knicks, Heat, Wizards, 2 out of 3 on the road for the C's to start the season. What do you guys got?
Uh, I'm gonna say 3-0. Yeah.
3-0, baby!
Yay! Unanimous, right. A unanimous 3-0. I love it. I love it.
This I believe.
There we go. See, the vibes are different this year, people. The vibes are different.
It's not just showing that.
Exactly.
Let me ask you this real quick. When we talk about the vibes, can you, you know, bring yourself back to when Kyrie just got to Boston? Forget all the, you know, outside stuff. But when Kyrie just got to Boston, that preseason / training camp, how were the vibes then compared to now?
Compared to now, that's actually a really good question, man. To be honest with you, now is at a whole nother level. I feel like back then it was more like obviously excitement. Also, there was like that sort of like, well, what happened to you? Like, remember that? Like, it was kind of what went wrong there? Why did he want to leave so badly? So, you know, there was something that, like, you know, I feel like it was like a cloud over training camp for a little bit. And once the basketball started, that kind of fizzled out. But just training camp and during that time, there was certainly still some question marks there. I mean, yeah, like I said, it was that excitement. There was the, you know, about to get crazy, Gene, you know, Gordon Hayward and all that. But I feel like some of it was also like, well, what's the team going to look like? How good are they going to be? And I feel like that third part was like, well, why did he want to leave so badly? You know what I mean? Yeah. And there was all that. And like now, some of those voices that I remember, like some people were kind of like, you never know. We'll see how Kyrie is. This guy's kind of different. That was the first time we started to hear that. Oh, this guy's a little different. Like, he might surprise you here. Whereas in this year, there wasn't that skepticism. You know?
Yeah, no, I also remember at that time, the narrative of, oh, Brad, now he's got superstars to coach. Let's see how he does with superstars. That, cause it was just, right. You know, at the time right. It was like Isaiah.
And you gotta remember too, this is Tatum's rookie year. This is Jalen coming off a mediocre rookie season. Some would say not quite established yet. He was still early on, you know, trying to find his footing. So it was a much different situation compared to now.
Agreed. All right. I was just curious because it didn't seem like that long ago, but technically it kind of was, you know, after everything that's happened since. So, all right.
Crazy. Shock value from the Isaiah training for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hopefully no one explodes their leg on the first friggin' 30 seconds of the game.
Yeah, that'd be bad, man.
Yeah, that would be really bad. Looking at you, Porzingis, don't do it.
Jesus, dude.
He's like, don't be a victim.
Change the narrative.
First thing is, you stay healthy. That's
you know it. All it takes is one injury. Then we'll be like, oh, see?
Yeah, see?
All right, Sean, not bad. Not bad. Season debut of your segment. But now it's time to take a trip around the NBA with Joel, in case you missed it. Who we missed, Joel?
Well, actually, sort of... breaking news while we were recording, you got the Milwaukee Bucks who have decided to give Antetokounmpo his extension now. 3-year extension to be exact.
Hey.
Worth $186 million.
In case you're saying a little thing, you know, close to shit. There you go. You got him locked in.
Well, ironically enough, when this kicks in, it's around the time where Dame has his player option worth about 60 something mil. So.
Wow.
Yeah. Unless Dame decide, or unless the Bucks decide to give Dame another extension, but yeah, well, that could be,
No, that would be just crazy.
then that would take him into his 40s. So I don't know. You tell me.
What is he, Brady?
Yeah. So, interesting because of all the other news that's kind of come out of Milwaukee. You got a lead assistant, or one of the assistants over there. Terry Stotts calling it quits before the season even begins. So
that shit's weird, man. Especially with the history he has with Dame in Portland.
The guy that was just like, yo, I know Dame. I've known him his whole fucking career. Like, we got
him. He got him out of retirement. He hasn't coached in 2 years.
Yeah, you're right.
Adrian Griffin wasn't feeling him, man. I read an article on the Athletic outline. The glaring issues, I guess, or at least the one incident that really stuck out most for people throughout training camp was that there was he was trying to get all the coaches together, and I guess Stotts was still like kicking with the players or something. He kind of like yelled at him, or kind of just like, hey, get over here. And he like, what is like, he kept shaking his head yes, but then didn't do it. I don't know. Some people just felt like he was like trying to maybe undermine AJ Griffin, who obviously has been in a situation before, his first time as head coach, or someone like Terry Stott, that I guess, I don't know, maybe they just didn't talk right away.
Yeah, no, hey, I can see that. I can see that because Terry must have been like, "Yo, like who are you talking to right now? Like relax."
Right, AJ's like, "This is gonna be a problem."
He's like, "Do I have to take out my coach of the year trophy? Do I have to head coach?"
Dave's in the back. Show him, coach.
Yeah, but that's the slippery slope, man. You can get these assistants. You can get these assistants out of there, you know, with a lot of pedigree. And then, you know, just they may not be ready to hear from that newbie and tell them, hey, yeah, go run some tape.
That would probably be like the equivalent. That would probably be like the equivalent of like Joe getting mad at like Sam Cassell in practice or some shit, and Sam be like, yo, my man, like what are we doing here? Why are you pulling rank with me all of a sudden?
Yeah,
hey Joey, let me step outside real quick.
Hey, yo, let me holler at you real quick over here, yo, right before we start.
No, Sam Cassell's like, hey, I'll be over there 1 second. I just gotta shine my championship ring here, Joe.
Yeah,
all right,
three of them. I got three different ones.
So why don't which one I got? This takes a long time to take off. Like why don't you blow me, right? Like that's what we're talking about.
I think you were learning your ABCs when I got the second. I think so.
Like yo, my man, I was at the most dangerous Source Awards ever in history. Like yo, don't ever do that again. Don't ever do that to me again in front of the player.
You don't
right?
even know.
You have no fucking clue.
Refresh my memory, Joe. How many seasons did you play in the NBA? just give me a heads up on that. You know what I'm saying, Joe?
So, yeah. Kid is behind him. Zero code.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
He's working one on one with Tatum, and I fucking love it. I think he's gonna make him. He's gonna put that chip on Tatum's shoulder that I've been talking about for years.
Oh, shit. Oh, man. But yeah, no, I just find it interesting that, you know, Antetokounmpo not too long ago, like a few weeks ago, was talking about like it didn't make sense for him to, you know, sign an extension now, but here he is signing an extension now. So for whatever that means, I don't know. I guess you can't really take too much what he says, you know, take it with a grain of salt when every time he speaks, because it ends up being the reverse or the opposite not that long after the fact. But anyways.
Right. And look, if you're Milwaukee, you're like, man, pull this dude, does another 180 on this. Let's just lock him in now. You know,
all right. They're like,
that's what you're supposed to do.
Giannis, how about you sign today? You say you didn't want to sign, you know, like a week ago. How about right now? Just do it right now. Just get out of the way, you know.
How's everything? Everything good? How's Dan? Everything great? Oh, you guys having fun? Oh, that's awesome, man. Hey, check out. We got this new contract here.
So we made some improvements from the last time we spoke.
Yeah, watch.
All your brothers can be signed for life if you stay.
And you know how Giannis is too. You know how Giannis is. Oh, shit, great, man. Really good. Like, he's in a really, really good mood. Oh, yeah. This is the time. This is the time to get him signed right now.
Yeah, right now. Gotta be right now. Yeah, so should be interesting out there in Milwaukee for the next, I guess, potentially 6 years. All right. In case you missed it, James Harden, now stop me if you've heard this before, has still been a no-show for the 76ers over the past week or so. I want to say pretty much since he made his comments about the relationship with Sixers GM Daryl Morey being what he called beyond repairable. Harden has been away from the team.
That dude's done everything for Harden.
I know, right? While not playing in a single preseason game, skipping multiple practices. This is all according to ESPN. And at this point, it remains unclear if he'll even be available in Philly's regular season opener, which is against the Milwaukee Bucks on Thursday. So,
I know, right? If you're the team, like, yo, bro, 2 days away, man. He's gonna play? The MVP is coming back, dude. He still wants to win, man. You want to come join it?
Like, we got a new coach, bro.
They also did it to themselves, dude. They like could have done something with him, and they're like, no. James will just we'll keep him. We'll play. It'll be fine.
Don't say that, Joe. You know damn well what happened, man. Nobody wants him. All right, man. They must be calling everybody and their mom. Yeah. Would you please take this guy?
They could cut him.
$35 million.
Yeah. Hey, if you don't want them, let them go.
They'll be paying that for the next like decade.
Oh. And it's gonna put a huge smile on his face.
Yeah.
He might as well. You know what he should do? He should just sit at home. You know, just sit at home. Let that contract run out. He'll probably get like an offer in like Saudi Arabia to get paid like $400 million.
Oh, he's gonna be the guy. He's gonna be the first guy, yeah. First NBA guy who goes over there.
Go for that. Play from China. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, so
he plays on the anti Daryl Morey team.
Technically, he still wins, even though if he's not going to actually win, you know, a championship, but he still wins in the end with the money he'll get paid. He'll be okay. He'll be all right. So that according to the team, they told the press, this past Friday that Harden is dealing with, quote, a personal matter as to the reason why for his absence. The all-star guard, he picked up his $35.6 million option over the summer before requesting a trade to the Clippers, which obviously still hasn't been granted, and it seems like it won't be happening anytime soon. Keep an eye on that, I guess.
What a mess.
It really is. Speaking of messes, somewhat of a mess. In case you missed it, we were discussing earlier about the Grind and Grit Grizzlies. Well, they'll be without their center, Steven Adams, for the entire 2023-24 season after the team announced over the weekend that the veteran big man, he's going to need surgery on the PCL, not the ACL, but the PCL in his right knee.
PCL. Sorry.
Adams, who hasn't played a regular season game since late January due to another knee injury. Say it again, I missed it.
Because PCL is not.
No. It's probably the best, right? Yeah.
Oh, are you telling me that's the least important CL? I don't know.
I thought MCL, ACL, those are bad. To be honest, I didn't even know the PCL.
Yeah, this is the first time I've ever heard of PCL. To be honest,
All right. You know what? So next time we get together for the show, I'll take out your PCL. All right, break it. We'll see how you do. Right. Do a little test.
That took a violent turn.
Sean just gets mad. How about we break your fucking PCL?
I'm fucking rip out your. Your patella tendon, bro.
He's like, yo, fuck your meniscus, bro. How about that?
No, chill, bro. Otherwise, I'm about to break your feet.
Adam's here, who was also nursing another knee injury since January. He hasn't played a regular season game since earlier this year. He did play in two preseason games before he's been ruled out for the entire 2023-24 campaign. Now, with Demetrius Ja Morant suspended for the first 25 games for his what should we call it? Gunplay on social media, the second time in 3 months.
We'll say we'll call it flashing pieces.
Flashing pieces, all right, or fake pieces, whatever you want. Making it lead to believe that he messes with guns. How about that? You got that, and then you got Brandon Clark, who's also out with a torn Achilles tendon. And now Steven Adams, so you think maybe Marcus Smart now becomes that much more important in Memphis?
I think he's going to play center after Ja Morant.
Whoa, wow.
Marcus Smart makes the All-Star team this year. Let's go. All-Star Marcus Smart.
All right. Write that down for the next bet that we're going to
with. Yeah, it didn't happen in Boston. It's going to happen in Memphis.
Yeah, we'll pencil that in for the next the next bet. I'm gonna put it on. I'm gonna put my sticky notes all over the right here, my little station here, just like in TNT.
Yeah, by the end of the season, it's gonna look like that scene from Evan Almighty. What was it called? That movie with?
No! That was Bruce Almighty. That's when all this
Bruce Almighty. Yeah. When you ask for all those
Evan prayers. Almighty, bro, what the fuck? Who watched that movie?
No, there was something like that. Wasn't
no, it was the second one, but like without
no one watched that
without
one.
Jim Carrey. Yeah, yeah, it was Steve Carell.
I know. Evan Almighty was with Steve Carell, and that was like one of the worst movies of all time.
As soon as I said it, I was like, "That's not the one, but that's a real movie. I know it."
Yeah. Yeah. Evan Almighty.
Like, bro, it wasn't Evan. His name was Luke. Okay, Luke Almighty.
Wasn't he the? Wasn't he the jealous? No. He was the one that.
That got the Bruce job. They got the anchor job over him. Yeah, yeah. But yeah.
But anything like free, like 4-year-old virgin, man, I don't know who Steve Carell is. Like, that's what put him on the map for me. And then I watched a little bit of The Office after that.
And then Anchorman, and then so on. Yeah. All right.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so back to Steven Adams. he is 30 years old, by the way, and he is signed through the 24-25 season. So he's got one more season after this season that he won't be playing in. All right.
Were you trying to cheer up the Grizzly fans?
No, because like the team was like, oh, he'll be ready for next season, which is like his last. So that's all. That's all I'm pointing out.
So he's mid. He's mid, as Drew would like to say. He's mid.
We're gonna get Drew references all season. I love it.
I know. Man, every time he says something remotely like that, I'm gonna be like, oh shit, Sean.
Either that, or we're gonna get a text from him like, really? Is this what he just did? He really just say this?
Well,
I think as long as you don't call him a squid, I think he's still got a chance, huh?
He's not in good territory yet, man. Just give him a couple weeks though.
All right. Last but not least, in case you missed it, Bradley Beal, one of the newest acquisitions for the Phoenix Suns this offseason. And may I add a player that I drafted last week for, you know, my fantasy team.
Oh, we're going to have a fantasy update each week, dude.
Your boy, Joel has come out of retirement after a decade of not playing fantasy. So let's see how this goes. All right. But I digress. Bradley Beal recently spoke with the homie, Sway's homie, Mark Spears, about teams that were in the mix to trade for him once the Wizards pretty much told them, like, yeah, we're going to trade you. So, and
we're going to need you to honor this trade.
Yeah, we're going to need you to approve any fucking trade that we, you know, that we do for you here. But you kind of have.
And by the way, after this, like, no one's getting that trade question anymore, by the way.
Yeah, right. Oh, that's right. He had the trade clause. That's right. I forgot about that shit. Yeah. All right. So,
last one ever.
Yeah. So
that's on its way out.
Yeah. So once they were
the only reason why these contracts make sense is because we can trade them when you suck. So,
right.
That's not
the second apron. The second apron. I'm scared of everybody.
Yeah. Right. That new shit. That new CBA. So, no, he said that initially he wanted to go to Miami. Oh, surprise, surprise, shocker. When he initially was talking about his list of teams that he wanted to be traded to. And then according to Beal, he said that the Knicks, the Bucks, the Kings, and even the Nets were among the teams that were involved in trade talks with Washington. But once Beal got a call from his agent about Phoenix, that he felt like just came out of nowhere.
Drew's sitting there reading this report being like, I know who the Bucks offered.
The veteran, he immediately thought, like, wait, so are they going to trade, like, Booker for me? Like, why would I want to go over there if Booker's not part of the team or whatever? Devin Booker, right? So once they figured out that Devin Booker wouldn't be obviously involved in the trade, he was like, all right, you know, I approve. But he felt that once Miami told his agent that it wasn't going to happen, he felt like, quote, it was a gut shot because he really wanted to go to Miami. And by the way, we were talking about Miami earlier. Yo, if you're Pat Riley, don't you feel like what the fuck happened that you got players like Dame, Bradley Beal, you know, there was rumors that you know, Drew Holiday was interested in going over there, and you struck out on all three of those motherfuckers, and like, how are you going into the season like confident, like, yeah, like this is gonna, it's okay.
He made it sound like he had like hitmen with guns pointed at John Holiday. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he just thought he was gonna. Like, he thought it was inevitable that Portland was going to do that shit. And that's a good point. And you know what else, too? You know what else it took? Because when things got really tough for him, and you could tell, you know, talk to Saul and all that, he never upped his offer, right? Mm-hmm. No one was excited about a package surrounded by, you know, that was centered on Tyler Hero. You know what I mean? It had to be Bam. Honestly, man, it takes something to get something, right? You're telling me if Bam's in the mat, in some kind of trade offer that they don't take that over Robert Williams deal, they would definitely have taken that. But Miami would have never done that. They're too scared. They want to keep that core intact.
You think Pat Riley?
They don't have enough assets to keep those guys intact, or at least enough talent to surround those guys. When your assets aren't what they used to be.
Yeah, but you think Pat Riley is just too old school? That he's just like it's like take it or leave it type of attitude.
No, I don't think I don't think that they just don't have assets. Like those two guys, they want to go there, great, but. You have to trade pieces for him, and Hero fucking sucks. Like,
you wouldn't trade Bam?
Oh, well, that's the thing. If you trade Bam for Bradley Beal, where are you?
You were with Kevin Love as your starting center.
Yeah, so you can't trade Bam.
Right.
You can't trade Jimmy. You have to figure out Kyle Lowry and Hero and then a bunch of draft picks.
And no, I don't know, man. No,
I don't know, man. Because if you're Miami, you got to remember, like, if you don't, it wasn't like this whole Dame thing was just going to end the way, I guess the way Dame thought it was going to be. Oh, if I'm not going to Miami, I'll just come back to you guys. Like, no, like, if you're Miami and you're in that situation, it's either we trade him and get him or another team's going to get him and we're fucked. They had to look at it like that. And they did it. Even after seeing Boston go out and get Porzingis, they were intimidated by that. And I'm like, you guys got to shake this up, man. And you waited too long. You were in desperation mode at that point. Literally 24 hours or 48 hours before media day. And you still got the same roster. Like,
yeah, you know, this kind of reminds me of, like, the last year of LeBron in Miami. Do you remember, like, how many players were rumored to be traded or players that were going to be bought out, whatever, and, like, LeBron, there was rumors that LeBron wanted, you know, certain players, and Pat was like, no, like, you're going to do it, like, my way, or we're not going to appease to you. You think Jimmy might get to that point where it's just like, yo, my man, like, you're gonna have to give me some help, bro. Like, I've been here. I've been pretty fucking loyal to you, and you can't, like, you know, provide me with another superstar? Like,
come seriously, on. Man. Like, hey, I'll always give Miami credit, man. They hit when people least expect it, right? With these undrafted guards, you know, like, brought into the system. They're all about the culture and all that stuff. Yeah, you know, that's great. But, like, how many runs to the finals are you going to squeeze out from that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, Barton's story's great, and obviously Gabe Vincent and all that. But look, you get to a point where you see the teams across the conference making changes.
Yeah, like
you guys do the same thing. Yeah. That's something I always give Boston credit for, because they're always mixing things up. And by the way, you know, the backup right now, Thomas Bryant, it wouldn't be so bad, damn it. All right? He was starting for the Lakers a lot of the time when Anthony Davis is gone. Yeah. It's a place to start, all right? In the NBA, man, you only get so many chances at a title. And they went twice in the last 3 years, man. That's as good as it gets in terms of, like, when you don't have two top guys. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have, like, a superstar duo or you know, an entire starting five that you can keep intact beyond that. It's just really hard to do that in the NBA.
Yeah, I mean, you have to wonder, like, if LeBron says, like, oh, I'll stick around here or I'll finish my career here if you know, give me some whatever, the pieces that we need to keep this thing going. And Pat was just like, if you want to bounce, you can bounce, bro. I'll figure it out. I always figure it out type of
yeah,
attitude.
But didn't they, like, I feel like they wasted a lot of assets to bring in guys like Kyle Lowry, Kevin Love, you know, just pieces that.
No, Kevin Love was bought out by the Cavs and they just signed him out.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That was the midseason.
Yeah.
Thing.
The Kyle Lowry thing, I think that was a sign and trade. I think that I forget what went to. Oh, yeah. They traded, what's his name? Dragic.
Right.
To get Lowry. And, yeah, so I don't know if you lost too much there, but it is.
Well, I just feel like they've made these, like, medium sized trades over the years where if you make enough of those, you lose a first round pick here. There's a couple seconds there, and then all of a sudden you don't have enough assets to make the big move you want to make. So, I don't know. They probably should try to flip. They could have flipped Hero for, like, picks to make the offer sweeter or something. If, I don't know. Find a third team. They could have done something, but
I don't think so.
I find it interesting how many players want to go to Miami, and Miami just can't get it done. That's what I find that interesting.
Yeah, right. That's on them.
Yeah. Bradley Beal, and in terms of where he ranks in all-time leading scorer in the Wizards' history, he was only 160 points away from achieving that, being an all-time scorer in the Wizards' history. So I don't know at some point before his career is done if he'll end up going back to the Wizards, but I find that little nugget interesting. After
who's
signing
the all-time leading scorer for the Wizards?
I knew you were gonna fucking ask me that because I have no idea who it is.
Then why would you bring this up?
Yeah, like that's a. I didn't try to play stump you here, man. That's
it. Sometimes when I say those things,
I would guess West, but I don't know. Maybe
sometimes when I say things like that, you guys just go, "Oh, that's interesting." Then we just
nah,
move on.
I'm gonna guess. I'm gonna guess. I'm gonna guess. Because they were the Bullets.
Okay, you'll never guess this. You'll never guess this because it's only 15,551 points total.
I just checked to see if it was West, and it's not.
Yeah. Yeah.
John Wall?
No. They were. No. No.
Why would Joel label that as you will never guess it?
because John Wall, John Wall got traded. Like, you know, it's been a minute since John Wall's been traded from there.
It's got to be someone.
Definitely guess John Wall.
So were they on the Bullets or the Wizards?
Well, it's just it's both of them.
Right, but this person.
Played for the Bullets. Yeah.
I don't know. Then I don't know.
Oh, John is top four though.
Elvin Hayes.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Before I looked it up, I was thinking of Earl Monroe, but he's like number three, I think.
Earl.
West is number five.
Yeah, and then Moses is in there too. That would have been a good guess, Moses Malone.
Gilbert Arenas cracked the top 10.
Yeah, I was trying to think of between Gilbert, Caron, like those teams, like, but they just didn't have.
They only had like a few years to get
it. Yeah.
Didn't have the staying power as like I mean Bill was probably one of the longest tenured like wizard ever if you think about it.
Yeah, well, Gilbert Arenas should be on that list, but he decided to go absolutely insane.
Yeah, Bill is going to be entering his second season of a 5-year, $251 million deal, which will pay him damn near $56 million in the final year. So the Suns, they better win a championship. They're going to squeeze out at least a championship out of this little run.
Yeah,
plus scratch. Yeah, I mean, and plus, Beal, he's only won 4 playoff series in his career.
Yeah, Beal sounds
inexperienced.
A little bit.
Everybody loved that move, and I just don't. He's not a winner. He's always been like just a scorer. I don't know, man. We'll see. Maybe he's ready for it. I mean, he did in those series against the Wizards, like the John Wall, Bradley Beal Wizards. I mean, you were worried about Bradley Beal at that point, but you weren't really like, oh, he's going to take over the series, you know? Like, I don't know. We shall see.
See, if Paul Pierce had stayed on that team at least like one more season, maybe. Maybe, you know, they go, they make another deep run, but.
Oh, they need.
Oh, that was a fun year, man.
Yeah. But yeah. But nope. Doc Rivers, you know, decided to trick Paul Pierce, thinking that he'll be a vital piece with the Clippers, and just that never happened. Never happened.
I'll never forget the quote when he's like, man, I get it. You know, I don't know where I'm at in my career, but, you know, one thing, you got other guys start in front of you, Bo, and look over, I see Bob Tute checking in. I'm like, come on, man. I can't even say that dude's name. I forgot I'm trying to pronounce
it. Mbute or something like that. Mbute. Yeah.
He's like, come on, dog. You putting Mbute in right now, bro? Damn, no.
Yeah. Now I know you're doing this on purpose. Now I know you're doing it on purpose.
Yeah, right.
All right, that's going to do it for this edition of In Case You Missed It. Check us out. Check us out on all our social media platforms. At Causeway Street, as Sway is heading to MSG in NYC. You'll be with the videos.
Oh, you're taking the red line directly into Madison Square Garden.
Amtrak. Switch over back bay.
Switch over back bay right to that Madison Square Garden.
Straight shot.
Yeah.
It's the red eye.
So we're gonna be doing Man on the Street with some of these Knicks fans. It's gonna be really fun. I can't wait to see how that goes. Man, you guys should send me some questions that will piss off New York.
Okay.
It's gonna be one of those we're here to Get everyone's input, but we're going to talk a little shit.
I got one.
Soon as we say from Boston, you're not going to lose.
Yeah, no, I got one. Ask the Knicks fans, how does it feel to win only one playoff series in like almost 30 years?
I know, right? I should be like, yo, so how long did you hold that one series over Celtics fans? Was it the old Brad Stevens era or just towards the end? I'm just going to say stuff like that.
Just be a dick.
They'll always have that. Like, oh, we ended the something big three, but then you guys did nothing.
Nah. You know what? They didn't even believe that until fucking Melo said it one time. That was it. They're like, okay. But what have y'all done since? Nothing. That's your claim to fame? Sucks to be.
Yeah, I'll put in some. I'll squeeze in some Porzingis questions in there.
Cool. Oh, that's right. They got Porzingis.
You could ask about their concern level about Tom Thibodeau's health.
No, I'm not doing that.
So I thought about it for a second. He's like, no, I'm not going to do that.
No.
All right.
I think Southern Reporters just finally stopped asking about. So, like being back in Boston?
Yeah, right.
The tips.
Yeah.
He's been on like 10 teams.
He's on like his third job, yeah.
Like, I left.
At this point, At this point, it's just you're not flattering anybody.
Yeah, it's like it's been like 15 years. Stop asking me this, please.
Yeah, I'm actually hoping that I could stick around longer.
For real.
Stop reminding me about my past.
Yeah. All right. Also, don't forget to subscribe to Causeway Street After Hours. That's on Patreon. Patreon.com/Causeway for exclusive content, including our after show and the one-on-one with Joe Sway podcast. Plus, we're giving away not one, but two jerseys of your choice.
Yeah, that's right. First winner will be selected this week.
Ooh, this week there in honor of the NBA season finally being here upon us. And the second one will be given, what, in like a few weeks?
Sometime before Thanksgiving. Cool. You know, always a few weeks into the season to another one.
All right.
So. Yeah, you know, make sure you guys figure out what jersey you guys want for this year, you know?
For real. For real. Porzingis, maybe?
Porzingis? Got a lot of
Holiday? You know, Derek White?
Pritchard? Yeah,
you got a lot.
Payne Pritchard? The Bob of the War. Yeah. See Pritchard's out there.
Yeah. That's patreon.com/causeway, okay? So subscribe. You're into automatically the jersey giveaways, all right?
Yes, sir.
And real quick, before I forget, y'all, shout out to Papa Pavone. Celebrated a birthday over the weekend.
Happy birthday, Dad.
His first as a abuelo. So, huge supporter of the Causeway Street podcast and the Causeway Street brand. We love you, Kincho. So, hope you had a good one. All right. So,
feliz cumpleaños.
Hey.
Why do you sound like, what's his name from the Red Sox team?
Castiglione? Oh, no. I think I said Castiglione.
Jerry Remy, yeah.
Hola.
Yeah.
I think he's Spanish.
Buenos dias, amigos.
Yeah, you know, those are the days, you know. R.I.P. you know, to Jay Remy. So yeah, man, happy NBA season. This is finally upon us. So this is the year. This is the year.
Yeah, this is it.
This is the freaking year.
You're
already
here first. You're already here first.
It's happening.
Have fun out there and wise way, and don't do anything we wouldn't do, right? Don't
get
those NY fans, you know how they can be.
It's just the beginning, you know, I gotta take it.
Yeah.
But no, I'm very looking forward to it for sure, man. It should be a fun way to open up the season.
Definitely, definitely. All right, so that's it. That's all for this episode. Until next time, we are out.
Peace.
Later.
Buenas noches.